Sunrise Radio Podcast.
Welcome to a series of episodes celebrating success stories of inspirational women here today on International Women's Day. My name is Raj Palmer, and in this episode, we will be speaking to Counselor Anila Ahmed. Firstly, Councillor Ahmed, thank you very much for joining us here on Sunrise Radio. If you'd just like to do a short, brief introduction for our listeners.
Thank you very much and good morning, everybody. My name is Councillor Anila Ahmed. I'm a City Ward Councillor in Bradford.
Now, Anila Ahmed, we've had you in the studio before and we've discussed various topics, and this is another episode getting to know your background and hopefully instilling confidence to the young ladies watching that they can also enter the political world, so to speak. So let's start from where the journey into politics began. Where did it all start?
Many years ago. I was one of those that always used to stick up for my childhood friends. Anything went wrong, I was the politician who used to go talk to mum and dad to get them out of trouble. So that's where it really started, helping the neighbours when we were younger. Mum and dad were always the focus in the neighbourhood. You know, anybody needed anything, they used to go to our house, filling in forms, you know, going to meetings and appointments. And that's how we learned to do it. You know, it was just learning from our elders, really, because they were always so helpful. And we grew up in that environment. So why not? Why not carry on with it? And then why not teach my next generation, my daughter, her children? And that's hopefully the journey that, you know, will continue with us.
Now, if we rewind back in time, it's not a traditional route, especially for ladies, women, to enter the political industry. So you know, did you have struggles entering this world?
The only struggle I think I had was my own, more to do with, do I really want to do this? Have I got time to do this? So those of you that don't know me as anything else but a counsellor, I work for the ambulance service as well. That is my full-time job. At that time, I had my elderly mother-in-law living with her. She was very unwell at the time. And her encouragement more than anything else, she used to say, Beta, go for it. And I'm like, Mum, I need to spend some time with you. You know, you need to look after you. We need to do this, that, and the other. And she was like, Beta, if you get the opportunity to serve the community, if you get the opportunity to help somebody, go for it. And I think that's what prompted me, especially at my age. You know, I was 51 years, well, 50 years old, actually, when I came into politics, into local politics. And it didn't start just there. It started many, many years ago, say maybe 30 years ago, when I moved into this area, where we started doing little things, you know, doing little street cleans, helping the neighbours out, making sure everybody was okay. That's where it all began, really. And I think being a small-time community activist, I thought, well, I've got a voice now. Might as well use that voice, and why not?
Now, you mentioned your full-time job is with Yorkshire Air Ambulance. You know, what made you enter that profession? Yorkshire Ambulance Service, sorry.
I always wanted to be a doctor. That was my life's dream, to be a doctor. But things happened. I was 19 years old and my dad passed away. So he was unwell, but it wasn't a case of where he was going to just leave us just like that. And I think all of a sudden, within minutes of him passing away, I had to grow up very, very quickly. From a 19-year-old carefree person, I became an adult straight away. And that, at that time, was the end of my dream of becoming a doctor. I had four younger sisters and a muck after. I had a home to look after. I basically stepped into my dad's shoes, really, to do what he would do for us if he was around. Then my priority was then to make sure my sisters were okay, that my mum didn't want for anything. I had two, sometimes three jobs, you know, worked as much as I could to provide for them. Mum wasn't well after losing dad due to the grief, her own health. Things were quite difficult. But I promised myself one day, somewhere along the line, I will try to get into medicine. And I got the opportunity in 1997. A friend of mine said, there's a job going at the ambulance service. It was a secretarial role, and that was what I was trained in. would you like to come and interview for it? I thought, oh, yeah, why not? I'll go for it. So I came to do the secretarial interview, did the interview. And at that point, one of the directors, what they did, they rang me one night to just have a quick chat on the phone to see what my telephone manners were like, because obviously a lot of the work involves telephone calls. And he said to me, he says, have you ever thought of working in our control centre? I never knew that ambulance had a control centre. Rang 999, the operator just sent the ambulance, you know, the person that you spoke to first. And that was it. That was the first step into this role. And I've never looked back. I'm 23 years as an emergency medical dispatcher. I've been honoured to be helping people sometimes in the worst days of their lives and the good days of their lives, you know, the best days of their lives. And I'm just honoured and pleased that I've had the opportunity to do that. And I've been there in that role for such a long time now. I'm hoping to continue for a few more years.
Now, you've also won awards, haven't you? Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, in 2005, that was the first time I was nominated and shortlisted for EMD of the Year. EMD stands for Emergency Medical Dispatcher of the Year. And I was very lucky to win it at that time. And then you just do your best. You don't expect to get any awards for the job that you love doing. I was very honoured that in 2018 I was shortlisted again, but I didn't win that year. And in 2019, again shortlisted, I was very lucky to win Dispatcher of the Year. It wasn't a local award, this was a national award. And I bought the Dispatcher of the Year UK award back to Yorkshire, which was an absolute huge thing for, you know, to happen. So I could bring it back to Bedford. It sits on my mantelpiece in the other room. Look at it every day, and I keep thinking, whenever I look at it, I keep thinking, you know, these are the prayers and the du'as of my elders. Plus, I hope somewhere along the line over these years that I've done something good, helped somebody, and they've given me their prayers, and this is a result of that and hard work, I suppose.
Going back into your job as a counsellor, you know, there aren't many female counsellors out there. Why do you think that is?
Sometimes it's not an easy position to be in sometimes. The hours, people, it's not a 9-to-5 job. You know, you step into this arena, you've got to be prepared that somebody's going to ring you at 11:30 at night when they really, really need help, and you have to be available for them. People's lifestyles don't cater to that sometimes, you know, if you've got families. For me, I made a promise 5 years ago when I came into this role that I would make myself available for people whenever, however I could, and I'm hoping that I've been able to fulfil that promise. It sometimes can be difficult for people in their own lifestyles to adapt to an additional pressure, you know, other people's problems and issues. And these are things that we have to deal with on a daily basis. You know, it's not just street cleaning, and it's not just, you know, having the gutters dredged, or litter picking, or it's a lot more behind the scenes than that. You know, people who really need your help, maybe having interviews, sitting through people, you know, helping people sit through interviews, maybe assisting them in meetings, maybe, you know, you have to make yourself available for that sort of stuff. And I think sometimes people find that.
How do you feel about, you know, what changes have you seen since you first entered the political arena to you know, today, so to speak? How do you feel the world has changed? How do you feel maybe even the city has changed and evolved?
Very much so. When I came into council in 2016, got a leader. Bradford Council is run by a woman, female Labour leader. A lot of our portfolio holders, our chairs, committees are females. It gives you the opportunity to think, you know, this is happening. Things are changing for women. Women are coming forward. We have the ability to do this. And why not? You know, we're equals. That's what it's all about. It's equality. It's being able to put ourselves forward and develop our leadership, and maybe encourage other people to develop their leadership, and everybody has different qualities in them. Bring those forward and, you know, make something out of it. Absolutely. You know, come on board. When I came forward, my first year was, I did most of my watching and learning in the first year, and then I became a little bit more brave. I think when I did my first speech rehearsal, that really made me feel, you know, I can do this, absolutely do this, you know, and why not? You know, I'm there to serve people. I'm a servant to my community. That's why I am, and that's why I hope that I can continue to be for as long as people want me to be.
What are your aspirations and goals for, let's say, the next 10 years for the city?
Right. I would like to see Bradford on the national map. We are on the national map. We're the young city. We've got so much going on. Bradford's a city of culture, as you are well aware. We are absolutely loaded. We are loaded with so much goodness. We need to bring that goodness out. People are so easy to say, Bradford, is that what, not where so-and-so happens? Yeah, but you're not looking at what, you know, the goodness Bradford brings. My next 10 years, I'm hoping for the next 4 years, if I get re-elected this year, to serve the community as I have been doing, maybe in a larger capacity. I don't know where I'm going to be with the ambulance service. Am I going to still stay in the service? Do I want to retire? I don't know what I want to do yet. I'd like to spend a bit more time with my grandchildren. You know, they're growing up really quickly. I'd like to spend a little bit more being me, being, you know, just a person as well. But at the same time, I don't want to just pack it all in and sit at home and do nothing. I'm not the sort of person who can sit around and do nothing. I like to be doing something. I keep myself busy all the time, and that's the way I like it. So my next 10 years will be serving the community, looking after myself. If I don't look after myself, I can't look after other people. And just basically doing what I can do to help where I can, really.
Now, obviously, with the vaccination program, we hopefully are seeing light at the end of the tunnel. This last year has, you know, it's been unprecedented times. It's been awful times, especially for those vulnerable and in self-isolation. What advice would you give them? We are still a good few months away from being able to interact, you know, nearly as we used to. What kind of advice would you give them?
Absolutely. It's been an absolutely horrendous year. We've lost so many people. I've personally lost colleagues I work with at the ambulance service to COVID. We've lost community members, community elders, our young people who've succumbed to the disease. It's been a terrible, terrible time. Vaccinations are happening. I'm very lucky that I managed to get my first vaccination through my role. For the ambulance service, I'd encourage everyone, and I mean everyone, if you are able to take the vaccine, wait for the call from your doctors. Please, please go for it. Don't listen to the fake news. I haven't grown a tail, you know, and my ears haven't grown any longer. It's not going to do anything, you know. If anything, it's going to protect you. It's going to protect you and your families and your communities. You know, go for the vaccine. If you feel as though you've got symptoms, get yourself tested. Don't bury your head in sand. I know people are scared to get tested just in case it turns out that they have got COVID. What are they going to do then? Rest, look after yourself. Those 10, 14 days that you have to stay indoors and rest, that could be the difference between you, you know, looking after, getting rid of the disease rather than spreading it to everybody else. But go for the vaccine, get vaccine. Please don't listen to fake news. Don't watch things that, if you're not sure about something, please ask, we're here. You know, you've got my number, it's on the internet. If you've got any questions, ring your GP surgery, speak to your GP, ring your practice nurses, they will guide you through it, you know, but please ask the questions. Don't assume that what some people are telling you is right, because 9 out of 10 times, it's not going to be. Look at everybody else around you, those people that have gone for the vaccine. You know, this is the first step that we are closer to normality now. Next step, you know, is the next dosy vaccine. And hopefully, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It's been such a long tunnel. It's been such a long time. This year has been such a long year. And for those that are shielding and it... I've been very lucky that I've been able to go out to work every single day through the pandemic. other than the day obviously I've had off, but I've worked all the way, and I've seen the effect it's had on people's mental health, people's physical health, being locked indoors, you know, no fault of their own. It's taken its toll on people. In my other role, we're dealing with high cases of self-harm and suicide. You know, people's mental health has diminished, physical health and emotional health has diminished. It's taken such a toll on life as we knew it. And hopefully coming out the other end, life as we will know it, it's not going to be easy. It's going to take us time to get used to things again. I'd ask people to err on the side of caution, follow the rules, don't have big gatherings, you know, just be safe and make sure that everybody is safe as well.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Councillor Ahmed. Would you like to give any final message to maybe any young ladies who may be interested in following your footsteps, and also the Sunrise Radio listeners?
Absolutely. Thank you very much for inviting me today. It's been an absolute pleasure and an honour always to be in your company. We don't get to see people as we want to. You know, we speak on the phone more often, but it's always lovely to be involved with anything that happens within the community. If you think you want to come forward and take on any roles, even if it's like a role like I do in the ambulance service, honestly, come forward and do it. It is the most rewarding thing. You might not get the 100% positive result that you want on a day, but just imagine if you save one life a year, that is one life saved. And again, in the counsellor role, we have the ability, you have the ability, you have in you to come forward and make that change and make that difference. You have the ability and maybe the knowledge that I may not have at this moment to come forward and make that change for people in the future. You know, you are our future. I'm not going to be here forever. You know, I want you to then take the role and then move on with it and move forward with it and make the most of it. So please, if you feel that you want to join us, come speak to me, ring me up. I'll have a chat with you about what I do on a daily basis. Maybe come and shadow us, you know, see how we work and take it from there. But please don't think that you can't do it. Never say never. Never say never. There's no such thing as that. And if you don't ask, you never find out. Come and join us and see how it is. Let's do this together, you know. Let's make our communities a better place. Let's make Bradford a better place together. We can do it. Why not?